Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Vanished ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today.
Every scenario that we've looked at, because believe me, we've considered everything, and honestly, we haven't been able to rule anything out because we can't rule anything in. And then when you look at, well, did he have any enemies? Was there something that could have happened because of something that he did? What on earth could he have possibly done? He's the kind of guy who, if you need something, he'll give you the shirt off his back if it will benefit you.
Seventy-year-old retired firefighter Michael Chambers disappeared from his home in Quinlan, Texas on March 10, 2017. Earlier that day, he had spoken to his wife on the phone around 8 a.m., then he was captured on surveillance video at a local Walmart around 11:15 a.m. When his wife arrived home from work that evening, she discovered that he was missing. He had left behind his keys, wallet, and all of his vehicles. A couple of things went missing along with Michael that day, including his driver's license, phone, and possibly the emergency cash that he was known to carry in his wallet. Extensive searches have been conducted to look for Michael, but no trace of him has ever been found. Michael is known as a devoted friend, father, grandfather, and great-grandfather, loved not only by his family, but by the community as well. What happened to Michael Chambers, a man with no known enemies or risk factors for going missing? I'm Marissa, and this is episode 100 of The Vanished, Michael Chambers' story. Everyone knows that finding the perfect t-shirt can be a challenge. I've always had problems whether it was with the fit or quality. Luckily, the perfect t-shirt does exist, and you can find it at Skims. From cropped silhouettes to long-sleeve layering tees, there's a style for everyone. You know that I've been wearing Skims for a long time, and recently tried one of their t-shirts. It's the best-fitting tee I've ever worn. Skims makes the best basics and foundations. I got the boyfriend t-shirt in Onyx, and it's so soft and comfortable. I want to wear it every day. It literally fits like a dream. Shop the Skims t-shirt shop at skims.com, now available in sizes extra, extra small to 4X. If you haven't yet, be sure to let them know I sent you. After you place your order, select podcast in the survey, and select my show in the drop-down menu that follows. Over the past several months, I've received many, many requests from listeners to cover Michael's disappearance. I was finally able to get in touch with his granddaughter recently, and I spoke with her for this episode. I think what's so striking about Michael's disappearance is that he was a strong man in good health, no known enemies, and wasn't involved in any risky behavior that we often see as factors in missing persons cases. He was just going about his daily routine when he simply vanished. Since there's no obvious reason for Michael's disappearance, this has left his family and law enforcement with very few leads to follow up on. Whatever happened on March 10th and why it happened still remains a mystery. Michael's granddaughter, Nicole, told me a little bit more about her grandfather.
Papa is, like you said, he's a retired fireman. He is always the one who is down on the floor with the kids, and he's been that way since I can, you know, since I have memories. He's my grandfather, and he's my kid's great-grandfather. And even still, even at, 70 years old, he's the horse of for the kids. He's down on the floor. They're crawling all over him. He's their kind of their jungle gym, which is always a lot of fun, but he's very loving, and he's very, I guess you could call him, a lot of people might call him like fatherly kind of in the way that he acts and he's somebody that you can be very comfortable talking to, even if you've never met him before. He's the kind of person that you can just engage in conversation and be comfortable with who he is and the way that he is. He was in a gospel band, which I don't know if a lot of people know that, but I have a CD of him somewhere, and my aunt posts his songs and stuff to Facebook, which is always really nice.
One of Michael's favorite hobbies is restoring old cars.
So ever since I can remember, he has had cars at their house. Either a truck, an old truck, an old car, something he's working on, some sort of project. But I'm not sure when he really started going to car shows with his cars, but he has what we call the Wall of Fame at his house, and it's all of his trophies. Some of them are as tall as me, and they're trophies for Best in Show. His passion, I would say that his passions are being a fireman when he was a fireman, helping other people in any way that he can, kids, grandkids, great-grandkids, and cars. And the cars, he was part of a car club. I can't remember what it's called right now. Something like DFW's Most Wanted. I might have to look that up. But he would go to car shows in Greenville. He'd go to car shows in Dallas. And he just takes old cars, restores them, and improves them as much as he can. And then goes with all his buddies on these little trips to car shows to compete, which is a lot of fun.
Nicole told me about the last time she saw her grandfather when he and his wife, Becca, came to pick up some Girl Scout cookies.
I saw Papa and Becca. They came to my house, which I live in South Fort Worth. And they came to my house to pick up Girl Scout cookies that they had ordered from my daughter, who's in Girl Scouts. And so they had ordered like a case of Do-Si-Dos, which are his favorite. They always order those, the case of Do-Si-Dos. That's what he likes, are the peanut butter cookies. And they came to get them, and whenever they came to pick them up, you know, they came in and sat down, and I was reading my son a story before nap time, and they were both giggling at me because I make silly voices whenever I read, and they were both kind of making fun of me. And it was just a normal, you know, they were totally normal. And that was just a couple weeks before he went missing. So to me, there was nothing out of the ordinary.
March 10th, 2017 appeared to be just like any other day. Michael's wife, Becca, left for work that morning, and she spoke to him over the phone around 8 a.m. Surveillance footage from a local Walmart shows that Michael stopped there around 11:15 a.m. He was purchasing some beauty products that his wife had requested. Something happened later that day after he returned home. Nicole told me how they came to realize that he was missing.
From what I understand, when Becca got home, he wasn't there, and his truck was there. The garage door was down, and everything was locked up, which is unusual. Typically, whenever Becca would get home, if Papa was home, he would have the garage door up so that she could pull her car in, and then he would come out and, you know, help her take her stuff in. So she's a home health nurse, and sometimes she has a bag or two to bring in. And so he would come out and, you know, greet her and treat her like the princess that he always treats her like, and help her inside. And so she got home and he wasn't there. So she went in the house and, you know, none of the lights were on and she didn't find him. So she went out to the shop, which is not attached to their house. You have to walk a little bit. And the lights were off and the door was locked. So she went over to the neighbor's house, which is their oldest son's in-laws live right next door. So she went over to their house to say, "Hey, have you seen Michael?" And they said, "No." She said, "Okay, well, could I use your four-wheeler?" Because I guess Papa had told her that he was going to chop some wood. So sometimes that might mean that he's back on the rest of the property. And so they got on the four-wheeler and went and looked around their property, and she didn't see him. So she came back to the house and called my aunt and my uncle. So she called Susie, who's my aunt, and she's their youngest daughter. And she called John, who's my uncle, and he's their oldest son. I mean, the reason she called those two, John and Peppa, are very close. They have lunch all the time, and talk all the time. And so if somebody knew where he was, it might have been John. And then she called Susie because Papa works with her husband, David. David has a floor restoration. It's called rustic floors. They stain concrete, basically. And they would work together a lot. So Papa would go and help David on a job. And if somebody else was going to know where Papa was, it might be Susie, because David doesn't always answer his phone. And then I think she called one of the car club folks, and I'm not sure who it was that she called, but she called one of the car club folks because if he's not with John and he's not with David, then maybe he's with one of the car folks, and he wasn't there. And so then she was like, okay, well, let me check one more time through everything. So she went in the house, she looked in the bathroom, maybe she missed him taking a shower. He wasn't there. And then, so she went out to the shop and unlocked it. And that's when she saw the blood. There was blood on the floor. It was several big drops, I'd say quarter size drops, and a small pool of blood. And it wasn't necessarily a pool of blood. You know, I use that term, but what it really was, it was several drops in one concentrated area about the size of a dinner plate, I'd say. And they were all kind of there, and it had created a pool in the middle, but you could tell that it wasn't just blood that had been, it was drops. It was formed out of the drops. And then from that, there were several drops, leading to the door, and they were all the same quarter size drops. You could see a splash pattern around them, but there was no direction to them. It wasn't, there was no tear dropping. It was just, you could see some of the splash marks pretty circular around each drop. So I would say that the blood, it was more than like you cut your finger or something. It was more than that. It was, maybe it could have been a, blood dripping down an arm or even a nosebleed or something like that. If it was a pretty bad nosebleed that wasn't stopped very quickly, something like that. But it wasn't just a nick type of amount, but it also didn't look like a fatal amount either. So, and then she called 911 after that. Becca called 911 and said, you know, this is not like him, because it's not. It's completely out of character. Papa is a very routine, methodical kind of guy. He's one of a few places, and he doesn't really deviate from what he normally does. And then also his wallet and keys were on the workbench, which is not something that he would leave behind if he was going to go somewhere.
As I mentioned in the beginning of the episode, some things went missing along with Michael that day. His cell phone has never been located, his driver's license was missing from his wallet, and it's believed that he had a relatively small amount of emergency cash in his wallet that's also missing. They can't be 100% certain about that, though.
But the reason that that has been said is Papa always kept emergency cash on him. And my husband does the same thing. My husband always keeps emergency cash in his wallet. And it's not a huge amount. You know, it's not a lot, but it's enough to fill up your tank if you need to take a gas. And there was no cash in his wallet. So it's not that we don't know that there was cash in his wallet, but it was very typical for Papa to have some small amount of cash in his wallet, and there was none. Yes, his driver's license was missing also.
Extensive searches were conducted around Michael's home, but no trace of him has been found.
No, so there's, they had tracking dogs out there. They had drones out there. They drug a couple of ponds. They used sonar on the lake. And no, there's nothing. And so a lot of people question, well, why aren't you still searching? And I mean, where do you search after you've searched everywhere that you feel like he could have been? Where do you go? Where do you search?
It's been reported that dogs were able to track Michael's scent to the end of the driveway, but no one's sure if that's actually related to his disappearance or if they could have been picking up a scent from him doing something like getting his mail. Just days after Michael disappeared, the Hunt County Sheriff's Office held a press conference.
On Friday evening, March the 10th of 2017, at approximately 6:55 p.m., the Hunt County Sheriff's Office received a call regarding a missing person in the 7,000 block of Barnard Market Road, 2101. Upon arrival, the Sheriff's Office made contact with Rebecca Chambers, who stated that she had spoken to her husband earlier that day at around 8 a.m., and when she returned home a few minutes prior to the call, he was nowhere to be found. Upon an initial check of the area, we contacted the Criminal Investigation Division, and they were called and eventually requested assistance from the Texas Department of Corrections K-9 team out of Bonham, Texas, as well as the Department of Public Safety air unit out of Garland, which is equipped with a heat signature equipment. After searching well into the night, there was no sign of Mr. Chambers, and the search was called off. As the search was being conducted, we learned from the family that Mr. Chambers was in good health and suffered no mental health issues such as dementia that may have explained his sudden disappearance. As you may know, these types of investigations are ever-changing, and the information comes in at a rapid pace with different theories and thoughts on the events of a case, and this one is no exception. What we believe at this point is that Mr. Chambers was at his residence in his shop area where a small amount of blood was located. There was no sign of a struggle, and everything appeared in order inside the shop and the residence. It is unclear at this time if Mr. Chambers somehow became injured and walked away from the location looking for help, or if he was taken against his will. It is possible that there were some items, possibly cash, that was removed from the scene, but at this point, we have more questions than we have answers. Investigating leads were followed up on tracking Mr. Chambers' movements throughout the day, and on March the 10th, included some video footage from a retailer which showed him entering and exiting the business alone and leaving the parking lot alone in his pickup, and there are no indications that anyone followed him out of the parking lot. Due to the ever-changing dynamics of this investigation, and one possible theory is that Mr. Chambers may not have left his residence voluntarily. I requested and obtained assistance of the Texas Rangers on March the 12th, Sunday, and they are assisting at this time. Allow me to sum up that this is uncertain on how Mr. Chambers left the residence, but we suspect that he may have some type of injury because of the small amount of blood located at the scene. The area surrounding the property has been searched with no leads developed. Mr. Chambers has no diagnosed medical or mental health issues, and his whereabouts today is unknown. That's my statement. I'll take a few questions if you have any.
Sheriff, did he have a cell phone with him?
His cell phone is missing. We don't know if he has that with him or not.
Right. Can you tell me where the retail business was?
Yes.
What time?
It was the Walmart in Quinlan around 11:15 a.m. on Friday.
So you're saying that it doesn't appear that there was a struggle in the shop or in the house. Then why say that there is this possibility that he may have been taken without, against his will?
Well, we're theorizing that. We don't have any, the only physical evidence we have is the blood there. And so we're just theorizing that he didn't leave on his own free will. And we have narrowed it down. We believe whatever happened to Ms. Chambers happened between noon and 3 p.m. on Friday.
Sheriff, have there been any recent problems, I don't know, in your community with break-ins?
Oh, normally.
An uptick or anything?
Yeah,
like that?
We have break-ins, but we don't have people missing. But, you know, when you live in a rural community, we're going to have daytime break-ins. Mm-hmm. But this, a lot of neighbors around this residence, Mr. Chambers was in and out constantly, but we just haven't found anybody that's seen anything that day. I'm going to turn it over to Cherie Hines, is Mr. Chambers' daughter, and she's going to give you a statement from the family. Cherie.
Michael Chambers, Mike Chambers, is my dad, beloved husband, dedicated grandfather, great-grandfather, hale, hearty, healthy, civil servant. And this is absolutely unlike. He's not a person who just disappeared. Someone knows something, and we plead and entreat you. If that person is you, call the Hunt County Sheriff's Department. We beg you, anything, no matter how small it might be, please raise your hand. And thank you for all the prayers and everyone who's offered to volunteer. I don't know how to thank people enough for that.
The sheriff took a moment to make a personal statement about the case, since he knew the Chambers family for years.
Let me just make a personal note. I knew the Chambers very well, personal friends of mine, and this has really stuck me pretty hard, too. I'm having a difficult time, even though I've been in law enforcement 41 years. You still don't get used to something like this. So anyone that has any information at all, no matter how small it may be, please contact the Hunt County Sheriff's Office, and we'd appreciate any information at all, no matter how small it may be.
Sheriff, are you receiving calls already? What kind of?
We have received a few, not a whole lot, but we have received a few, and we're checking everything out every little bit.
Sheriff, since you know him personally, are you just able to tell us about who he is as a person, as a man, as a father?
Oh, I sure can. He was in. I was a Sunday school teacher for several years. I've never known a more devout Christian man than Michael Chambers. I trust him with my life. He's a great family man. He loved his wife dearly. And I am really torn because we don't have any answers. And we're just, it followed every lead we possibly can follow. And we're just coming up with nothing. It's just tearing us apart as a family, as law enforcement agency.
Sheriff, no known problems with any neighbors or any disputes going on before that?
None. We checked all that out.
Yeah.
Pinging the phone didn't get you anywhere.
No, sir.
Did it ping at all or no?
It did. I'm not allowed to elaborate on that because it's part of our investigation, but it did a couple of places. We followed up on those.
Any persons of interest that you're not, like, coming right out of saying?
We don't have a person of interest right this time, James. I really appreciate y'all coming. We really need your help on this, get this information out, and seeing if anyone at all has seen or knows anything at all about this case. Thank y'all.
We all know there are things in life that you have to compromise on, but when it comes to your health, there's no compromise. So don't settle for that one doctor that isn't really addressing your needs. Instead, check out ZocDoc, the place where you can find and book doctors who will make you feel comfortable, and you can even search by location, availability, and insurance. ZocDoc is a free app and website where you can search and compare highly rated in-network doctors near you and instantly book appointments with them online. Once you find the doc you want, you can book them immediately. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat basically any condition you're searching for. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 and 72 hours. That's it. I use this, and you should too. Go to ZocDoc.com/vanished and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today.
That's zocdoc.com/vanished. Zocdoc.com/vanished. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. When you're a parent, you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. Greenlight is a debit card and money app for families. You can send your kids instant money transfers, get real-time notifications of spending, manage chores, and automate allowance. I've been using Greenlight with my older two kids for years. One thing that I love about it is that I can set up recurring or one-time chores, customized to my family's needs, and then my kids earn an allowance to reward them for a job well done. Not only does it motivate them to actually get the chores done, but it also teaches them a bit about financial literacy and independence. They're learning to earn, save, and spend wisely. So stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/vanished. That's greenlight.com/vanished to try Greenlight for free. One more time, that's greenlight.com/vanished.
In that press conference, they referenced some pings on his phone. Nicole told me more about that.
I think they said they got a couple of pings off of it, but there wasn't a triangulation ping. So that's still being looked into. I don't know if they have any more information on that or not yet.
I've seen some information online that his phone was pinged near Lake Tawakoni, which is very close to Michael's home, but not all the ping information has been released at this point. One interesting piece of information is that the blood trail in Michael's workshop ended in the workshop. There's no sign of blood outside.
There were no trails of blood. The blood stopped in the shop. It didn't even get to the door. So there were no drops of blood outside to indicate what direction he went outside. There were no drops on the road. There's no drops on the ground. There were no footprints, tire tracks, nothing unusual outside of the shop.
We know that he had made a trip to the local Walmart that morning. It appears that he made it home and put the items that he had purchased away in the house.
He's on video at Walmart at something like 11:30, leaving Walmart. And they have him on video getting into his truck in Walmart, or in the Walmart parking lot to leave. And there's, you know, nobody follows him that we can tell. None of that. And so his truck is there, his truck was there in its normal spot. There was cash in his truck that wasn't disturbed, and it just nothing in the house is out of place. He had taken the purchases from Walmart and put them in the house, in the bathroom. And put the receipt was in the trash. So assuming he took everything out and put the receipt in the trash. And then after that, we have nothing. We have no idea what he did after that. One of the neighbors got home around 3 or 3:30 and said that they didn't see anything out of the ordinary.
Beyond the small amount of blood found in the shop, there's no sign of a struggle or break-in anywhere on their property.
There's no sign of a struggle. There's nothing else was taken. I mean, if somebody wanted to rob him, even if they were in his shop and didn't get into the house, there's tools. There was a lot of car parts. There's cars. I mean, for crying out loud, if you wanted to steal something, what better than a classic car? From what we can tell, nothing was taken.
In the months since Michael disappeared, search groups, including Texas EquiSearch, have continued to comb the area for any trace of him.
Yeah, and we had a lot of teams of professional searchers come in. EquiSearch came in. There were, I can't remember the name of the first team that came in, but they were a professional search team who used trained, certified volunteers. And a lot of them were firemen, which made it, you know, all the more touching. To have, you know, the firefighter community is such a brotherhood, to have their support out there. But they did a grid search, and it's not like they, you know, oh, we forgot to search this corner. Like, it was all checked off pretty systematically. And with every search that they've done since then, you know, we haven't done any where it's just strictly volunteers off the street. They've all been trained to handle evidence, trained to search for things in certain ways. It's all been very methodical, and that just hasn't turned anything up.
Michael's family has been going over all the possible scenarios of what may have happened to him on that fateful March day, but nothing seems to add up.
Right. Well, and the other problem is every scenario that we've looked at, because believe me, we've considered everything. And honestly, we haven't been able to rule anything out because we can't rule anything in. But I mean, if you look at, okay, well, it was just somebody who was there to rob him. Okay, no sign of struggle. Well, there was nothing taken. So that's kind of unlikely. Okay, well, then maybe he committed suicide. Okay, well, then where's the evidence for that? Where's the body, number one? And then also, how did he get wherever he was going? Because his truck was there. We've surveyed all of the areas that sell used cars to see if maybe they sold him a car for cash. And there's no cash that he would have used to purchase a car to get somewhere else to do that. And then when you look at, well, did he have any enemies? Was there something that could have happened because of something that he did? Well, what on earth could he have possibly done? He's the kind of guy who, if you need something, he'll give you the shirt off his back if it will benefit you. I can't tell you how many times he helped me move. And I'd call up my dad, and then I'd call up Papa and say, hey, I'm moving. And in my younger years, it was not always on very quick notice or on very long notice. So I'd call and be like, hey, I'm moving, you know, tomorrow. Can you come help? Oh, of course I can help. The only thing that he told me ever that I can remember that he couldn't help me with was when I called him to ask about tiling. And I said, hey, have you ever tiled a bathroom wall? He said, no, I haven't. He said, boy, I really wish that I could say that I had so that I could come help you. But why don't you call so-and-so? Because he has, and I know that he has, and I know him, and he's a good person to ask. And so even whenever he couldn't help me, he still managed to find a way to help me. And he, you know, how does somebody like that make enemies?
One thing that I wondered about was his interest in restoring old cars. I was curious if he could have met someone through an advertisement trying to sell a car that he had restored. For example, if he was attempting to purchase or sell a vehicle on Craigslist. Nicole told me that this is not how he would operate.
So typically whenever they would fix up a car, when he would fix it, he wouldn't turn around and sell it to somebody, but he might turn around and trade it to somebody and say, hey, here's this. Why don't you trade me that old car and I'll fix that one up next? It wasn't like a financial gain kind of thing. It was more of a hobby. And I have no idea how much he paid for this hobby, but fixing up old cars is not a cheap hobby. And now I know whenever he did sell any vehicle, typically he did it with David, and that's Susie's husband. And so, you know, most of the time, I think David handled most of those transactions. So if there was a financial thing, it probably went through David. But he barely knew how to send text messages. He was not a computer guy. He's never been a computer guy as far as I can remember. I'm not even sure he had an email address. And while he probably knows what Craigslist is, I highly doubt he's ever been on the website.
Additionally, they've gone through all the electronic devices that were in the Chambers home, except for his phone, which we know is missing.
All of the computers, all of the phones, obviously not his because it's missing, but anything that he would have had access to that we're aware of was checked by Hunt County. So they sent it to, they have a computer expert who took the laptop, took the desktop, took Becca's phone even, and there were a couple thumb drives, but took all of those and said, well, everything is normal. There's no weird browser history. There's no weird files saved to the computer. There's nothing that would indicate that he had really even been on here. So
When I was researching Michael's disappearance, I saw that some people online are outraged that this is not being considered a criminal case. Nicole cleared this up for me.
So at the beginning of the case, in their first press conference, the Hunt County Sheriff did say that they suspect foul play. And then they haven't necessarily named this a criminal case, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not treating it like one. Because there's no evidence for a crime, there is blood, but there's no evidence of an actual crime. And so they haven't put that label on it. But I've been told several times by Hunt County that they're giving it as much and more attention than any normal criminal case would get.
One thing that's really nice to see in this case is how much the community, including the firefighter community, has reached out to help and support Michael's family.
We've been very fortunate. I mean, like I said, the firefighter community is really close-knit. And so at the beginning, I think that it was that really captured the hearts of so many and helped his story resonate. I mean, this is somebody who served the Dallas community for a very long time. I mean, he retired in 2008, and I think that that was kind of his second time to say, okay, well, I'm going to step away from this. But so anyway, I think that that's probably what helped to get so much attention at the very beginning. And then since then, just the fact that he is a grandfather and a great grandfather, and he is a great proponent of his community, and he's connected to a car club, all of those things just helped his story connect and resonate with different people and kind of got it out there and got it stuck in people's heads. And we're so fortunate to have so many people who even still care. I mean, it's been 8 months. That's insane. Attention spans can be really short on stuff like this.
The Vanished is sponsored by BetterHelp. With social gatherings picking up after the winter, it can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin. It's a good time to think about the right amount of socializing for you. Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you prefer more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. A therapist can help you learn how to set boundaries so you feel empowered to be the best version of yourself. Everyone can benefit from therapy. It's not just for those who've experienced major trauma. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, so it's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/vanished today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/vanished.
Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices. Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach, like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for $50, organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And I was thrilled to learn that Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices in premium fabrics and finishes. I love that. I now have several items from Quince. I love their cardigans, pants, and shirts. I find their pieces to be easy to mix and match, and also to dress up or dress down. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/vanished for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/vanished to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/vanished.
Just to go over the timeline one more time, Michael spoke with his wife over the phone around 8 a.m. on March 10th. He was later seen on surveillance video at a local Walmart around 11:15 a.m.
He was alone at the store, and it doesn't appear that anyone was following him. At some point after that, he apparently returned home and put the items he had purchased away in the house. The sheriff's department has stated that they believe that something happened to him between noon and 3 p.m. that day, because a neighbor returned home around 3 and didn't notice anything out of the ordinary. His wife has stated that she texted him on her way home from work around 5:51 p.m., telling him that she'd be home soon. She stated that she arrived home around 6:15 p.m. This is when she began looking for him. When she couldn't locate Michael, she called 911 at 6:55 p.m. The things that are missing include Michael's cell phone and driver's license, and possibly a small amount of cash. The blood that was found on the floor of Michael's workshop did match his DNA, but it wasn't a fatal amount of blood. The trail of blood in the workshop did not continue outside. It stopped before the door. There are some things that have happened since Michael's disappearance that have sparked some suspicion among the internet sleuthing community. On March 20th, just 10 days after Michael disappeared, his wife turned off the service to his cell phone. In the months since his disappearance, she has sold some of their vehicles, including his truck, and a 1966 Mustang convertible that Michael had given to her as a gift last year. She's also had her husband declared dead, claiming financial hardship. This has allowed her to move forward with settling his estate. In Michael's will, his wife is listed as the sole heir to his property. Rebecca Chambers did not notify Michael's children that she was moving forward with this. When the death certificate was issued, the Dallas Fire Department Pension Board was notified. This is how his family found out. One of Michael's former co-workers at the Dallas Fire Department called one of his daughters to inquire about his death. There have also been rumors circulating regarding an alleged affair or affairs that his wife may have had. She has also allegedly stated to a family friend that Michael was not coming back. There's a Change.org petition asking that the Texas Rangers take over this case. In the petition, it states at least two of Rebecca Chambers' male acquaintances have been questioned by law enforcement. Also included in the petition is information about a local man, Bradley Dunn, who had made claims on social media that he had knowledge of Michael Chambers' whereabouts. The Chambers family spoke with this man and asked him to speak to law enforcement. When he met with deputies from the sheriff's office, he appeared to be under the influence and was taken into custody for having a handgun in his possession. I did a background check on this man, and he has a lengthy criminal record for things like robbery, theft, and drug possession. Michael's family is desperate for answers and is hoping that someone out there who knows something will decide to come forward to help.
Just that if anybody has heard anything, even if they don't think that it matters or that it could help, I mean, any tiny little detail from around that time, before that time, after that time, it could help. And it's tormenting not having answers, so.
Here's a clip that Michael's family has found from when one of his grandsons was interviewing him.
How do you describe yourself to someone who has never met you?
I don't know. Old.
What is something you are passionate about?
In the past, I've been passionate about my job, which is being a fireman. Now I'm passionate about family and grandkids, and one of my hobbies is old cars.
So what happened to Michael Chambers on March 10th, 2017? Was he the victim of a random crime, or was he targeted by someone who had motive to do harm? Did he just walk away? Or could he have become injured and walked off of his property? With so many extensive searches of the area, it's hard to imagine that he could have just wandered off and hasn't been found. No one reported seeing him walking around the neighborhood that day. One detail that sticks out to me is that his driver's license is missing. I think most of us keep our driver's license in our wallet and rarely take it out. When do you take your license out of your wallet? When you have to show ID to purchase something, or if you get pulled over by the police? Why would someone have taken his license that day? If the intent was to rob Michael, why didn't the person responsible take valuable items from the home or workshop? Michael's a pretty big guy at 6'3" tall and weighing about 225 pounds. If he was abducted, how did someone manage to take him in broad daylight without anyone seeing or hearing a thing? Not even a strange vehicle in the neighborhood. If you have any information regarding the disappearance of Michael Chambers, there's a $25,000 reward. You can call the Hunt County Sheriff's Office at 903-453-6800. If you wish to remain anonymous, you can call Hunt County Crime Stoppers at 903-457-2929. Michael is described as 6'3" tall, weighing 225 pounds, and he's balding with gray hair. He usually wears a Dallas Fire Department t-shirt and baseball cap. That brings us to the end of episode 100. I'd like to thank Nicole for taking the time to speak with me for this episode. If you have a missing loved one that you'd like to have featured on the show, there's a case submission form at thevanishedpodcast.com. You can find me on Facebook, where there's both a page and a private discussion group. I'm on Twitter at thevanishedpod and on Instagram as thevanishedpodcast. I'm kind of taking next week off. I'm traveling to DC to do some research at the Library of Congress for a future episode. But I will be releasing an update episode, so keep an eye out for that. I'll be back the following week to cover a case from Canada. Before I go, I wanted to take a moment to thank all of you who have supported the show over the past 100 episodes. Whether it's by sharing these stories, contributing on Patreon, or checking out one of the show sponsors, it all helps to keep the podcast rolling along. So I just wanted to take this opportunity to say thank you.
I think that they are doing everything they can to help find Papa and find out what happened, but it's, you know, I just hope that it's enough. So there's two options. One of them is Hunt County. Hunt County has a tip line for their sheriff's department. And then the other one is Crime Stoppers, and there's a Hunt County Crime Stoppers. And they can submit a tip online anonymously. They can call, they can go into the Hunt County Sheriff's Department and give a tip in person if they wanted. There is a reward also still for information leading to his whereabouts. So if somebody has heard something, you know, that $25,000 hopefully is a good incentive, but it's $25,000 reward leading to information about his whereabouts.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.
Welcome to the small town of Chinook, where faith runs deep and secrets run deeper. In this new thriller, available exclusively on Wondery Plus, religion and crime collide when a gruesome murder rocks the isolated Montana community. Everyone is quick to point their fingers at a drug-addicted teenager, but local deputy Ruth Vogel isn't convinced. She suspects connections to a powerful religious group. Enter federal agent V.B. Loro, who has been investigating a local church for possible criminal activity. The pair form an unlikely partnership to catch the killer, unearthing secrets that leave Ruth torn between her duty to the law, her religious convictions, and her very own family. But something more sinister than murder is afoot, and someone is watching Ruth. With an all-star cast led by Emmy nominee Sanaa Lathan and Star Wars Kelly Marie Tran, Chinook is available exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.